But Psalm chapter 3, tonight I want us to talk about deliverance from our trials. And when you read the book of Psalms, one of the greatest things you see in Psalms is this theme of deliverance. Because the God that we serve, he's in that delivery business, amen? He delivered us from sin, he delivered us from the power of sin, the penalty of sin. And one day as Christians, as God's people, we will be delivered from the very presence of sin in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so this is a great theme, one that's, I'm sure, dear to all of our hearts. And let's see what the Bible has for us. Psalm chapter number 3. Psalm chapter 3, and let's start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings upon thy people. Selah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God that provides encouragement to our hearts, challenges to our faith. And Lord, now as we glean from this passage, would you open it up, illumine our hearts and our minds as we just sang. I pray, Lord, you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me that divine wisdom and power to boldly proclaim your word. And I pray, Father God, that as we gather together, we are here to seek your face. And I pray we find you, Lord, that you would speak to us, manifest your presence among us. And just give us a blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the first psalm we read that actually has a title with. And the title says, A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And these titles given in the Psalms are actually very important. Sometimes we just skip through them, but they're actually very important. They're part of the canon of Hebrew Scripture. So they are important. They help us to understand what exactly is being said, how we can apply it to our lives, and what the author, David, in this situation, is going through. And here we read that David is fleeing from his own son, rebellion against him. And this is recorded for us in depth in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 18. Let's just look at a few verses from there tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 15, if you turn with me there. 2 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll just start looking at a few verses here to get an idea of the trouble of David, the trial that David was going through tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says, And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, he came to the king for judgment. Then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, O that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh unto him to do him obedience, he put forth his hand, and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So Absalom and his craftiness, his deception, is undermining the authority of his very father, King David. And he's trying to steal recruits to cause an uprising here in the kingdom of Israel. Well, let's skip down to verse number 13. Skip down to verse 13. And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. So not only was David fleeing because he's being ousted as king, but he's even fleeing for his very life. His own son is after him to undermine and usurp the kingdom, and to kill him. His own son. Let's get down to verse number 30. 2 Samuel 15, verse 30 says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up." And I think that's at the heart of where we find Samuel, Psalm chapter 3. That David is fleeing for his life. His own son is after him to kill him, rebelling against him. And he's weeping. His heart's broken. If you can imagine what's running through his heart. Some of us know the pain of a wayward child, a rebellious child. But in David's case, his own child was trying to even come after him and kill him, do him harm. And so he was grieved in his spirit. He's weeping. He's depressed even. And here we find in Psalms 3 and verse number 1, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? And many are they that rise up against me." Many are they. So it's his son and many are rising up against him. And David just felt so troubled. And David, I'm sure, understood, you know, this trial was brought upon by his own hands. Sometimes the trials that you and I face, the worst kind of trials are the ones you realize, you know what, I got myself into this. You know what, I got myself into this mess. It's because of my folly, my foolishness. And I'm sure during this time of weeping up on that mountain, maybe David is remembering that proclamation of judgment given by Nathan. If you're still in 2 Samuel 15, flip back a few chapters to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you know your Bible, you know that David committed a wicked sin with Bathsheba, and had her husband Uriah the Hittite killed. Had him killed. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see he's judged for that. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 7 says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken thy wife, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, to be thy wife." I'm sure these words were echoing through David's mind. He's thinking, you know what, all of this rebellion and trouble and persecution that I'm facing is really the judgment of God. And I'm sure as he's going through this trial, he realizes, you know what, it's my own fault that I'm in this mess. God promised me that there would be a sword, there would be wars and fighting within my own household, within my kingdom, and here it is. However, if you know your Bible, David also repented. I think it's important to stress that David sinned greatly before God, but he repented and found restoration before God. There is a way back to God. We don't just, all right, David sinned and was never used to God again. No, God forgave him and God restored him, praise the Lord. And there is restoration when we come to God in forgiveness. There is restoration. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins, the Bible says, and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. So God wants to restore and forgive. And David found repentance. However, he's still facing this trial. And while facing this trial in Psalms chapter 3, he's looking up in the eyes of faith, looking to the Lord in faith to find deliverance from this trial. And that's the example that we need to have. No matter what trial we are going through, we can look to Christ in faith. We can trust him, depend upon him. My first point tonight is the fact that David is facing this trial, the trial of David. In verses 1 and 2, he feels so troubled. He feels like he's surrounded by his enemies, and they're closing in fast. And his own son is leading a rebellion against him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reads that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, those early Christians, those early proclaimers of the gospel, they were surrounded on every side. That Roman government was after them, trying to kill them. And they felt the trouble on every side. But you know, they never prayed, "Lord, take away this trial." They just prayed for Lord's faithfulness in the midst of the trial. They pray that God will give them boldness to keep preaching the gospel in the trial. That's a lesson there. That even in the midst of the trial, we can have God's blessing on our life and still looking to Jesus. When the Apostle Paul penned those words, I'm sure he realized that his fate would probably be death, persecution, there would be an end for him. But he understood that the Lord was with him through it all. And that's the key, the Lord is with us through all of our trials and tribulations here on this earth. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the promise of Jesus Christ himself. Well, we see the trial that David is going through. Not only is he going through this trial, but Psalms 3 verse 2 says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. There's no help for him in God. In other words, people are looking at David saying, listen, God's not going to help you. Don't even bother praying. You know, don't even bother, you know, praying and weeping and fasting. Don't even bother doing these things because God will not hear you. He will not help you. I'm sure many of these same people are saying, David, you're getting what you deserve. And just deal with it. Just sit through it and take it. And David was grieved because the people around him says there's no help for him. Well, it's a shame, but oftentimes our fellow Christians push us deeper and deeper into discouragement, deeper into despair with their opinions of unbelief. Think about Job and his wife and his friends. His wife even told him, hey, just curse God and die, Job. Is it really worth it? His friends told him, you know what, you're going through this because you did something wrong and God's just not going to bless you. Don't even bother crying out to God. And the very ones that should be lifting us up, edifying us, are tearing us down, pushing us deeper into despair. As God's people, we always need to be building people up. Hey, those we know are down, hey, let's edify them with the Word of God. Say, hey, look, listen to what God can do for you if you just trust Him, believe in Him. Let me show you what Jesus can do for you if you just trust Him. We can tell that to anyone. But far too often, people who are down, we kick them even down even further. And we need to build them up in faith. Come on in, man. Come on and have a seat. Preaching the Word of God here. Come on in. Come on in, man. Sometimes our fellow Christians push us deeper into despair with their unbelief. But we as Christians understand that, listen, our faith is not in other people. Our faith is not in man. My faith shouldn't be dependent upon this person or that person. My faith is depending upon Jesus Christ, on Almighty God. And so as David is going through this great trial here, he's grieved because people are saying to him, there's no help coming for you, David. You're hopeless. Well, what is your trial tonight? What is your storm tonight? What circumstance or issue are you facing tonight that you might think there's no end, there's no help, there's no way of escape? Maybe it's a financial burden. Maybe it's a debt you feel like, I'll never be able to climb out of this debt. And you're not believing God. You're believing the lies of the devil and the people around you. You're not believing God's promises. Maybe it's that unsaved loved one. You've been praying for them for so long. You've seen them just push away and stiff arm God. And sometimes those doubts, that unbelief creeps in. And maybe even other people say, oh, you know, they're hard to reach. He's hard to reach. She's hard to reach. Don't worry about it. You know, God knows. And we cultivate unbelief instead of cultivating faith. Maybe it's young people, you have a poor relationship with your parents. You know that you're not right with your parents. And you think, you know what? That's just the way it's going to be. I'm never going to get along with my dad. I'm never going to get along with my mom or whatever. And we just harbor these trials instead of depending on God, believing God. Maybe mom and dad, it's a wrong relationship with each other as a spouse, as a married couple. You realize, you know what, there's a space here, there's coldness here, there's deadness in my marriage, but that's just the way it's going to be. And we just go through life that way, accepting defeat. Maybe it's a sin struggle. Maybe it's something you say, you know what, I just can't get rid of this sin. I'm always going to fall for this sin, no matter what. It's just my weakness. And we accept defeat. Or maybe it's wayward children. We're saying, will this person ever return back to the Lord? Will this person ever get right with God? And you accept defeat. Well, David did not accept defeat in this trial. He's fleeing from Absalom. He goes up into that mountain weeping. He's crying out to God. And look what he says in verse number 3. Psalms 3, verse 3. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. David recognized, listen, no matter what the enemy is throwing at me, I have a shield. That shield is God, and nothing can get past that shield. He says, thou art my shield. You know, don't we all need that shield tonight? I know I need that shield of God. I have no defense in and of myself against sin, against trials and circumstances that get me down. I have no defense in and of myself except for God. How about you? Is your faith in that shield tonight? God is our shield. You know, in the Middle Ages, shields were very important pieces of battle. Today we have, you know, all these high-tech military technology, but there was a time where the shield was somewhat considered the most important piece of military equipment. Shields are used as a defense from attacks of the enemy, direct attacks from the enemy. Shields also had a symbol on them so that each warring faction could know which side they're on. Hey, depending upon what's on your shield, they'll know, okay, they're on that side, they're from that nation. So their shield was a defense and a symbol of whose side they were on. Our shield is our defense, that's God. And we are on His side. And we need to understand that when you're with God, you make up the majority. God and you makes up the majority. So no matter what situation you're facing, no matter how great the crowd you're facing, you and God make the majority. He's the shield. He's our defender. Well, David remembered, you know what? I'm in despair. I'm in trouble. I'm surrounded by trouble by my very own son, but I have a shield. He looked back and he remembered in his life all that God had done for him. He's remembering all the times the Lord had delivered him before. And you know what David said? God can do it again. God will do it again. Do you have that testimony in your life? You know, I can look back at things that God has done in my family's life. I see God's fingerprints on the life of my family. I see God's fingerprints in my testimony. That you can look back and say, you know, I'm going to keep trusting God because He did it before. And we all need to have that. Those testimonies that we can just look back and say, wow, look what God did. And not only just to look back so that we can look forward so He can do it again. He will do it again. That's the kind of faith that we need tonight. David was trusting in this shield. We need this shield in our life. Under attack from a ruthless enemy, David recognized he needed a shield. God was his shield. This wasn't a prayer asking God to become a shield for him. It's a declaration of a fact. God, you are the shield. God, you are the shield. Lord, I just need you to show up and do what only you can do. And many Christians need tonight a declaration of dependence upon God. Not depending on your own wisdom, not depending on, well, how can I get out of this trial I'm in through my own wisdom, through the works of man? No, how can I depend on God to see God work in my life? That's what David did. He depended totally and completely upon God. Well, turn to keep your place here in Psalm 3. Turn to Psalms 34 and verse number 15. Psalms 34 and verse number 15. The Bible says in Psalm 34, 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. You know what David was remembering? God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. That's who He is. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. All of their troubles. So we need to understand tonight, when we come to God, you gotta first believe in who He is. He's a prayer answering God. Amen. The Bible said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we don't come to God saying, well, Lord, if you can do this, would you get me out? No, Lord, you're able. Lord, you've done it before. You'll do it again. Lord, I've seen you do it in Scripture. I've seen you do it in my family. Would you do it again? That's what we do when we have faith. We believe in God. We don't have unbelief. We trust and expect God to work. Well, we serve a prayer answering God. But God was also more than just a shield for David. He was more than just a protector of his physical needs. Because David said, Thou art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. He was the one who lifts our spirits. That's who God is. He doesn't just protect us and provide for us physically. He meets all of our spiritual needs also. Sometimes we don't face physical trials very often. Sometimes many of our trials are emotional or spiritual. It could be depression. It could be bitterness, vexation of spirit. It could be anxiety. It could be worrying. All of these things get us tripped up. The Bible says, cast your care on Him, for He careth for you. So we need to be like David, recognize the Lord is our shield, and He's the lifter up of our hearts. He lifts us up. He uplifts our spirits. David also said, you are my glory. You know what sometimes people do when they face trials? What the worldly crowd does especially? They're going through a hard time and say, man, you know what? I got to hit that bar. I got to run down to that bar and just drink all my sorrows away. That's what they do. They try and wash away all their sorrows with the alcohol. Or maybe they turn to dope and drugs. They say, you know what? I can't take it anymore. I just need something to help me with this. And they turn to drugs. Some people turn to just, hey, you know, I'm going to go out, party it up, live it up with my friends this weekend. We're going to, you know, I have all my trials, I'm going to forget about them. I'm just going to go party it all with my friends. But you know what? The vexation of spirit is still there. You lay your pillow down, you lay your head on your pillow at night, the regret is still there. That's not the answer. You need to find glory in something else. The things of this world will never, ever give us the glory that God can give us. That's why David was able to say, you are my glory and the lifter up of my head. In all things, let's look to Jesus. In all things, you know, when we turn to the things of this world, it's just proof. You're not really trusting in Jesus, are you? You know, when I see people, even Christians, turn to vices and sins to overcome their trials, you're not really trusting the Lord, are you? Let's cast all of our cares upon Him, the Bible says, because He cares for us. Well, David understood that. You know, men try and find glory in all types of things, whether it's fame, power, prestige, possessions, pleasure. But David found his glory in the Lord. That's glory in the Lord and His power, His grace, and what He can do in our life. Psalm 3, verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. David is remembering, God has answered my prayers. He's come through for me time and time again. And you know what? I'm going to keep trusting Him. He's my shield. He's my protector. He's my defender. And even though at this very moment while he's praying, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. You know, that's referring to Jerusalem. At that very point in time, Absalom was probably ruling in Jerusalem. But David recognized, no, Absalom is not sitting on the throne. God does. God is the enthroned king. He's ruling and reigning over all. I'll go to God, and He can answer my prayers. Do we perceive things that way tonight, or do we get burdened by, you know, all of our leadership, our politicians, our world leaders are letting us down. We get so discouraged. Who's really on the throne? Let's put our trust in the Lord. Say, Lord, You're able to send a revival. Lord, You're able to change our land, change our nation, change our hearts. He is able. Let's not get so caught up being discouraged. Let's keep looking in faith to Jesus. David recognized that God was sitting on the throne. He still seated on the throne. He said, I laid me down and slept in verse number 5. I laid me down and slept. My third point tonight is the faith that sprung forth from David. The faith that sprung forth. Do you realize that David had so much faith that he could get a good night's sleep even though death was just right around the corner? He could get a good night's sleep even though these trials in verse number 1 and 2, the trials are surrounding him, encompassing him about. But he could still get a good night's sleep. Many people tonight, they're struggling with trying to get a good night's sleep. They have different things they're battling, demons they're battling, and they just can't get that good night's sleep. They're wrestling with sin, maybe they're wrestling with bitterness, or they're wrestling with whatever it might be. But Jesus, God, can give us peace that passes all understanding, the Bible says. We as believers can have that tranquility, that rest. But you know what? I don't have to fight this battle because the Lord will fight it for me. And we can rest. We can sleep and rest in the promises of God. That's a great place to be. Or you realize, you know what? I can't solve my battles. I don't have to. I can just rest in the promises of the Lord. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just call unto me. Rest in the promises of God and see Him answer prayer. David was able to get a good night's sleep. I laid me down and slept. Not only did he sleep, but I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. You know, he realized that just the fact that I was able to wake up and still be alive, that's the Lord, that's God. And every day, for all of us, whether we have someone after us trying to kill us or not, Whenever we wake up and have a new day, hey, that's a blessing from the Lord. Hey, there's people that lay their pillow, their hands down on that pillow, they never wake up. They never wake up to see that next beautiful morning. But those of us that do, hey, we praise the Lord, we thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see another great day. David was praising the Lord for sustaining him. Many sleepless Christians around the world, they're anxious, they're restless, worrisome, bitter. Cast your cares on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Again, David was recalling all the things that God had done before. He knew if God did it before, he can do it again. And so in verse number 6, David said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves up against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. When David says, Arise, O Lord, he's talking in military terms. He's saying, hey, Lord, go fight this battle and get the victory. And not only, you know, Lord, go fight this battle, help me to be able to escape and live, but he wanted total and complete victory. Notice he says, Lord, thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. That's referring to, hey, just totally dominate them, God. Just get out there and, hey, show them what you can do. Fight this battle for me. He wasn't just praying, Lord, help me to survive. He said, Lord, go out there and defeat your foes. And again, in our Christian life, in our day-to-day walk with God, is it just about making it through, surviving, just barely getting by in our Christian walk? Or are we seeing victory? Are we seeing defeated foes? Are we seeing, you know what, the devil tried to get a hold of me there, but God defeated him there. He tried to tempt me with this sin, but the Lord defeated him there in that battle. This child came up in my family, but God defeated the devil right then and there. That's what David saw happen. He didn't just pray, Lord, help me to get through this trial. He prayed for utter and complete victory. Hey, do we put God to that test? Do we say, Lord, arise and go forth in our prayers? So, Lord, arise and go forth in life of my unsaved loved one. Lord, arise and go forth in my finances. Arise and go forth in my Christian life. Arise and go forth in my children's lives. Whatever it might be, are we putting God to the test, believing Him? And so, Lord, arise and go forth. Win the battle. Give us the victory. David did. He looked to Jesus. That's the key again. Verse number 8, David recognized his only hope was in the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings upon thy people. Salvation isn't in any other except for Jesus Christ. Salvation and deliverance are only acts of God. Only God can do it. A preacher can't do it for you. A priest can't do it for you. Only the Lord Himself has to do it. Will you turn to Him? Will you humble yourself and go to Him? That's what it takes. If we humble ourselves and turn to Him, then He comes and answers our prayers, answers our cry. David recognized that his salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, you're saved, you know you're born again, but you know we need to continually be saved from the power of sin, the Bible says. Hey, we need to continually have deliverance over the power of sin. Far too many Christians accept defeat. They say, you know what, it's just the way it's going to be. Here on this earth, it's just the way it's going to be. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to sin. You can have victory when you place your faith in Jesus Christ. We can trust Christ with our souls to keep us out of hell. But do we trust Christ with our day-to-day life to keep us out of sin? I was talking to a young person who came forward for counseling. He said, you know what, I just keep on cursing. I can't stop cursing. He said, I really don't know. I think it's just I'm just going to always keep cursing. It's just how I am. And I told him, listen, this last week you prayed and asked the Lord to forgive you and save you, keep you out of hell. Do you believe He did that? He said, yeah, He did. I said, well, what's harder, Him keeping you out of hell or for Him to stop you from cursing? And the obvious choice is, hey, if He can keep you out of hell, He can certainly stop you from cursing. And if Christ can keep any of us out of hell, what's the issue in your life? What's the circumstance in your life? Trust Him in all things. We don't just need faith in salvation. We need faith moment by moment, day by day. Faith isn't about us. It's about Jesus. It's about the object of our faith. Jesus is always the answer, always the solution. Are you looking to Him and His ability, or are you looking at your ability, your inability? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the Bible says. Keep your place here in Psalms 3. in terms of turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll find some encouraging words from the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter number 8. And verse number 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Let's skip down to verse number 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. May in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Again, the key is always and will always be about looking to Jesus in all things. And David certainly had his fair share of trials and perils. The early Christians certainly had their fair share of trials and perils. What about us tonight? I don't think most of us are facing the sword, but we might be facing some trials, whatever it might be. Let me encourage you, challenge you, be like David. Look at the Lord as He is your shield. He is your defender. He is the one that can lift up your spirits. When you look to Jesus and His promises, you realize that He can never fail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for Your promises, Lord. But we're so thankful that You are our shield, Lord, that we can have deliverance from our trials, because that's who You are. Lord, we simply need to keep depending on You. Lord, I pray You look in our hearts and forgive us, Lord, of any unbelief. Lord, I pray that You would not allow any wicked heart of unbelief to creep into us, that we may doubt Your power. But Lord, I pray that we can instead call You, Lord, in faith, say, "Lord, arise and go forth," that we may see the victory in our life. Father God, I just pray You just be with us now during our rest of our service. Bless our prayer time and the things to follow, Lord. Will You just bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.